Hi everyone and welcome to the 39th episode of Praticamente Inglese. Ciao a tutti e bentornati al 39esimo episodio di Praticamente Inglese. Today, so first of all guys, I hope you had a great week and I wish you a great week ahead too. But also what I would like to say is that I'm going to speak a little bit more in Italian at the beginning of this episode. So I'm going to switch in Italian in a few seconds and then you will find more than 40 minutes of interview with Rafael Di Furia, which is an Italian-American living in Italy. Ciao a tutti, come vi dicevo ragazzi, oggi parlo un pochino in italiano all'inizio perché tanto troverete fra pochissimo più di 40 minuti di intervista con Rafael Di Furia, che è un italo-americano che vive adesso in Veneto. E quindi è molto carino, mi piaceva il fatto di intervistarlo per capire sia in termini di lingua, no? Quindi quando gli italiani provano ad approcciarsi a lui o lui cosa sente, cosa nota in noi quando noi proviamo a parlare inglese, potrebbe essere sicuramente molto interessante per tutti voi. E anche un po' la sua esperienza del vivere in Italia, quello che vede come differenza magari rispetto agli Stati Uniti. Nella scorsa puntata abbiamo avuto Raf Cutolo, che è comunque un language coach, un insegnante di inglese vero e proprio, e ho avuto tanti feedback positivi. Raf aveva una, diciamo, un accento molto british, invece Rafael, che intervisto oggi, ha un accento molto americano, quindi è anche carino il fatto di vedere un po' le differenze tra l'inglese e l'americano, no? Che spesso viene, come dire, viene preso ad esempio l'uno o l'altro. Vi ricordo intanto, prima di far partire l'intervista, che praticamente l'inglese sta andando molto bene, sono molto contento. E mi raccomando, continuate a iscrivervi nelle vostre piattaforme preferite, lasciatemi una review su Apple Podcast se vi fa piacere e anche condividetelo con i vostri colleghi, amici, per chi insomma lo trovasse interessante. Abbiamo sempre, ho sempre detto che c'è il sito praticamenteinglese.it, che è un po' un aggregatore di tutti gli episodi, c'è il canale su YouTube dove io metterò il video di questa interview e anche Rafael, che fra poco vi presenterò, ha anche lui un canale YouTube dove inserirà un'intervista, un'altra intervista che lui ha fatto a me questa volta, a parti invertite diciamo. E poi questa settimana ho aperto anche l'account Instagram, sempre praticamente inglese lo trovate, e il canale Telegram di Praticamente Inglese. Sto cercando di trovare tutte le piattaforme possibili perché tante persone magari usano LinkedIn, chi non lo usa, chi usa Facebook, chi usa LinkedIn, chi usa YouTube, insomma vorrei avervi un pochino, darvi la possibilità di far parte di questa community, ma anche di scrivermi se avete dei feedback. Sono sempre super aperto, anzi la settimana prossima probabilmente vi parlerò di business calls, comunque di telefonate di business, di come approcciarle, di come farle, quali sono le frasi più importanti eccetera, quindi continuerò un pochino sulla falsariga di quello che abbiamo sempre fatto, però mi piaceva anche inserire cose nuove, fare un po' di A-B test, un po' di test per capire, insomma, per anche far sì che voi abbiate qualcosa di diverso ogni volta quando entrate nel podcast. E poi se c'è qualcosa che proprio non vi piace me lo dite e magari cambio rotta, o al contrario se vi piace molto cerco di insistere verso questa parte. Vi ricordo inoltre che se voleste supportare Praticamente Inglese potete andare su patreon.com/Mattia Morelli, e dove facciamo anche delle sessioni insieme con i supporter due volte al mese, insomma è un modo carino per praticare l'inglese insieme. So, bando alle ciance ragazzi, and welcome to Rafael. Hi Rafael!
Hey there Mattia, thank you for having me on. It's such a great honor to be on your show, and it's so great for us to connect again, and because we always are connecting on Clubhouse, but it's great in this case, I mean during this recording session, I can actually see you instead of how it is normally.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. You know, video at the end of the day is king, always. Oh, yeah. Though, you know, this audio thing is growing, you know, with Alexa and all those different tools you have in your house, also with podcasting as well, it's growing. In Italy, it's still a niche, you know, ancora una nicchia, but it's growing really fast, I would say. Don't know what you think.
Yeah, for me, it's very interesting to see how, I hate to say that Italy is behind, but I think there are certain aspects where the adoption rate is a little bit slower when it comes to some types of media. I mean, because here in Italy, I know a lot of people who are still watching television, whereas in the United States, I know a lot of people who have gotten rid of television and they only watch Netflix or only watch media online, such as YouTube, like where I have a lot of my content. That's been my focus for the past like 3-4 years, basically, on my YouTube channel. And so that's something that's allowed me to reach some Italians, whereas with this new platform of podcasting, it's è un nuovo idea, un nuovo generazione, così.
Una nuova generazione. Yeah, and also you said get rid of, no? Che è praticamente sbarazzarsi. Quindi quando dicevi che gli americani si sono sbarazzati della televisione, no? They are all on Netflix now, right?
More or less. It's more and more, especially people in our kind of age range. I mean, maybe you'll still own a television, but more use it for online services such as Netflix, YouTube, or what they have in America called Hulu.
Yeah, your Hulu. They're very popular there, you know. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's like Netflix, it's like Prime Video, you know, those kind of platforms.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
But Rafael, sorry, tell us a little bit more about yourself. So you are an American Italian, no? I always say you are kind of 50-50 because you are, you are now living in Italy, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Also you are working here. What do you do? And, you know, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, yeah, so sono Rafael Di Furia, vengo dagli Stati Uniti e abitato in Italia già da quasi 4 anni, per i primi 2 anni abitato in Alto Adige, Sud Tirol, quindi per and for that reason il mio italiano non è perfetto, perché per i primi 2 anni parlato solo in tedesco, un dialetto sudtirolese.
Let me tell you this, Rafael, your Italian is amazing, okay?
Grazie.
Let me tell you this, you know, and also thank you for your saying it in Italian, you know, because my podcast Praticamente Inglese is all about that, so helping Italians to level up a little bit their English, mainly in the workplace, yeah, so
right.
That's the focus. But in general, it's great because I usually talk in English and then I translate in Italian. And now since a couple of episodes, I'm trying to give the opportunity to listen a little bit more in English. And maybe we can pick some words, or you can give us some tips as well later about, you know, how to use English with native speakers, because I know there are quite a few sentences that we say or phrases that we say that it doesn't sound good to you, right?
There'll be things like small little things. I don't know if you want to go into that now or later, but there will, especially for Americans and some British people, the accent and how certain parts of words are pronounced can make a very big difference in how something is understood. That's like the basic thing, and that's very difficult sometimes. Even for me trying to speak in Italian, there will be times when there are certain things like citizenship, cittadinanza, for me in Italian is it's almost impossible for me to say. Like every once in a while, like just now, I got really lucky because usually I can't pronounce it.
And what about yourself, you know, what do you do, you know, what's your job in Italy?
Sure. So when I first arrived, like I was saying, I was in Alto Adige and I was an English teacher, but now I have gone back to what I did before arriving in Italy. And so that is mostly in the field of video production. Actually, before moving to Italy, I was in television production, broadcast, and also production for small businesses and NGOs, non-governmental organizations, like non-profit organizations, doing everything from promotional videos to fundraising videos as well.
Right.
So there was a lot of different types of content. Now I mostly focus on helping my clients with being able to produce content on their own and to make it in-house, to do it in their business, or if it's an individual, that they can do it something like what we're doing now, where we have these setups that we know how to use them. And so I help people to be able to do that as well. And also, I have my own video podcast on YouTube, on youtube.com/Rafael Di Furia, or you can also go to notyouraverageglobetrotter.com RafaelDiFuria.com or RafaelDiFuria.com.
What does it mean?
So this was the thing, was this was some that during my time abroad, I had learned a lot about what it means to be living abroad and what it means to be an immigrant or what it means to be a digital nomad. Somebody who lives around the world, traveling, working from their computer, and
nomade digitale, diciamo noi, no? So it's a person, è una persona che lavora con un computer e una connessione internet e quindi può lavorare in qualsiasi parte del mondo.
Sì, anche a Bali, a Cina, tutti i paesi yeah. puoi lavorare in, yeah. in questo modo
di smart
working.
In front of the sea, you know, by the seaside, in beautiful places, you know, and that's a great opportunity, no? And in the marketing area, in the video creation and content creation in general, online courses, course online as well, there are quite a few people taking advantage of this chance that at the end of the day, you can just open your laptop, you have a connection, right. and you can work with all the world, you know?
Yeah, no, and so, I mean, even getting back to your question to answer that, I realized that I wasn't the average person who's doing this traveling abroad and going to all these places. I have been to a lot of places, but I'm happy to just kind of be in one place and just live a normal life somewhat and just live it in a different country than where I grew up. And for
me, where do you live right now in Italy, Rafael?
So now I live in a very unusual place. This is getting back to that idea of not your average. in a small city called Rovigo. It's in the Veneto region, maybe about, say, 45 minutes more or less from Venice.
Venice, yeah, yeah, definitely. So you are in Veneto.
Yes, so average, it's practically in my backyard.
Average means nella media, no? It's the average nella
yeah,
media, no?
It's the thing is, it doesn't, it's true. That's the way that you say it in Italian. But the thing is, it feels to me as an English speaker, if you translate it word for word, that it's not quite the same meaning, but it's the same rough idea. And there are sometimes those terms in Italian that, or even English, that it means roughly the same thing. It's just a different slight variation on it.
But now I need to ask you, you know, about those terms. If you can just give us, you know, some tips as well, as you yeah. are, you know, you are a native speaker. So you perfectly understand, you know, when an Italian is struggling, you know, to express in English. No, so you can tell us and I will be super happy to hear a few of those tips that you can give us, Rafael.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the first things that really set me back and in realizing that there was a difference, because there's so many what we call false friends that are
yeah.
that are so similar between the two languages.
Falsi and you would amici. Think,
exactly. And that would make it sound like, I mean, and it's funny because false friends and false amici, that's the one part of the languages that these are actually not false friends.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But I'm trying to think here. One of the things that really, not necessarily a false friend, but there are also English terms that you use in Italian that for us as native speakers are very strange and we don't use them even ourselves. Like one in particular was smart working, like I was just talking about
yeah.
before.
We said that in the last episode with the Raf Cutolo, which is a language coach, and he was saying to me exactly the same thing, that yeah. We kind of say smart working, but there's nothing smart about it. You know, is working from home mainly or yeah. remote working, right?
Exactly, remote working or I mean, in the past, like when we would have been children, it would have been telecommuting, like because you're on the telephone. But yeah, these days it's really working online or working remotely is basically what we would say, or even actually a false friend that really comes to mind: control. And in Italian, what is it? Controllare, to controllare control i documenti.
Yeah.
For example.
Ah, okay. So you should say, I think you check the documents that you don't control.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So control is to take power over something.
Okay,
is to...
quindi fammelo dire in italiano. Quando dico che voglio controllare un documento, non dico che I want to control a document, ma io dico I want to check a document, right?
Right, but the funny thing is that we do, if I'm not mistaken here, because I've been abroad for so long, sometimes my English does get a little mixed up, but if I'm not mistaken, we do use the term passport control, like if you're flying through an airport, but the actual action is to check the passport, to look at the passport.
Look at the passport, to check and not control.
So exactly.
What else would you say? You know, I mean, when you're going outside, I don't know, in Rovigo, I don't know if you have the chance to speak with Italians that try to communicate with you in English, or in general, maybe if you listen to, I don't know, maybe television, or is there anything that you have noticed that it could bring value to my audience, you know? And saying, okay, this one, I shouldn't say this, but this, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, also there's something that changes between the United States and England. And England and Italy are a little bit more similar this way, but there's a formality that comes along with the language. Like, even here in Italy, mia collega, like my colleague, and you would use that even if you're going to a McDonald's, for example. Like, sorry, I have to speak with my colleague. But for me, coming from the United States, if you're talking about, like, my colleague, this is, like, somebody who is in a Fortune 500 company. This is, like, a very sophisticated term that you only really use if it's, like, a big office or, like, this type of situation. Or somebody who is kind of... that you can refer to on that same level, who is working, doing roughly the same thing you are, or working within your same company or business at that level. But if you go to, like, a restaurant like McDonald's, for example, you would have the worker. So sometimes in American English, we simplify things and take away some of the formality of it.
So you would say, let me speak with my coworker.
Exactly. Let me speak with my coworker. I just have, or I have to go check with my manager or my boss. So in that situation, it depends a little bit, but coworker is what we would normally reach for.
Quindi per dirla in italiano, gli inglesi dicono più colleagues, quindi colleghi, e gli americani in un contesto di colleagues è più da come dire compagnia molto grande. In un negozio, in un piccolo centro, in un ristorante, se devo parlare di un mio collega, I will speak with my coworker, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. And that's what we say in America. In the UK, it does differ, but coming from an American perspective, even the first time that I heard that in Italy, like, and it was actually at a McDonald's. I hate to admit that as an American being in Italy, that I went to a McDonald's, but they said, I'm sorry, I have to go speak with my colleague. And I'm like, who do you think you are? Like,
yeah, okay.
What kind of attitude are you getting with me here?
Yeah, okay. Addirittura, insomma, lui giustamente spiega a Rafael che gli faceva molto strano sentire il colleague al McDonald's e non il co-worker. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, Rafael, you told me a little bit more last time we spoke about it, that the Italian attitude as well. You know, you as a person coming from abroad, but you are Italian too, because you have the Italian passport as well, no? What are the, you know, the attitude or things that you want to tell us about, you know, Italians in general, from your American eyes, let's say?
Yeah, no, that's something that's really interesting that I've even had to adjust my own identity as an Italian American, and especially here in Italy, be very careful of what I call myself, because in America I would call myself Italian, but here if I call myself Italian, people say, what's wrong with this guy? I don't know about him. I mean, even with my last name Di Furia, like, who did you kill to get a last name like that? And it's like, no, my family had to come from some place.
Yeah, of course. Quindi tu dici giustamente, in America diresti, quando sei in America, che sei italiano. però che quando sei in Italia non lo dici perché la gente ti dice ma come italiano? Ma scusami, sì, perché non parli italiano o comunque non lo parli bene, questo è il concetto, that's the reason.
No, questa idea, questo pazzo americano, perché come lui è un italiano, lui non è nato in Italia, lui non conosce, I'll switch to English, he doesn't know the culture, he doesn't know the this, he doesn't, and I do know many of these things, but maybe there are some small cultural references that I don't understand because I didn't live here, but there are some differences between the Italian-American culture, and this is something that I talk a lot about on my YouTube channel, but getting back to what I was saying, but the differences between the Italian-American culture and the Italian from Italy culture, yeah. Because when, like, a lot of our ancestors left, and this is talking about the diaspora from the Italian diaspora globally, not just for North America, but our families left at a particular point in Italian history, and that was the idea of Italy that they carried. And unfortunately, this has led into a representation of Italians in the media as a particular kind of way. But that's because so many of us or so many of our families left when Italy was a particular type of way. And coming to Italy now to see the differences in mentality, even just for going outside and getting dressed, even just to go to the supermarket, that people will often take care of themselves and actually make sure that they look okay.
Let me translate this part because I really like it. Yeah. So tu giustamente dici, no? Noi italiani di una generazione, no? Di, che ne so, 60 anni fa, 80 anni fa, quando i nostri nonni partirono dall'Italia, andarono in America, e però noi, diciamo, le nostre radici sono qui, no? So your roots are here anyway, no? So you feel Italian anyway, no?
And well, it's not that I feel, it's I had no other choice when I was a kid.
Yeah, no. Of like, course, exactly. Of course. Yeah. But also in America, you know, there is c'è anche in America questa cosa dell'italiano che insomma viene un po' caratterizzato, no?
Esatto,
viene un
esatto.
po' come un personaggio che viene identificato come nei film in the Robert De Niro movies, no?
Sì, no, ma anche gli italo-americani usano il dialetto dal sud, ma è un po' combinato, convertato a un nuovo modo per la vita in America. In questo caso, invece, instead of saying capicola, gabagol, capicol, or gabagool, as somebody, some people say.
No, I understand. Also, il fatto che poi anche gli italiani di seconda generazione, terza generazione, se si esprimono in italiano, si esprimono in dialetto, perché sono abituati a ascoltare i loro nonni che fondamentalmente parlano, quando si esprimono in italiano, in dialetto. Quindi anche qui, insomma, c'è un pochino di... quando rientrano qui in Italia o parlano gli italiani, parlano in dialetto e non proprio in italiano, insomma.
Exactly.
Ed è comunque un po', anche, come dire, un po' smorzato, no? È un po' diverso perché negli anni uno lo ha reinterpretato, diciamo, in alcuni casi.
Yeah.
And also, you were saying as well that here in Italy, dicevi che qua in Italia le persone si prendono molta cura di se stesse, no? Anche per andare al supermercato, no? This is something that you noticed, right?
Yeah.
To go to the grocery shop, you kind of, you know.
Yeah, and like nobody wears yoga pants or sweatpants or exercise clothing, like out going shopping or even walking around the street. It's like, okay, if you're exercising and you're running around, then yes, okay, this will be the case that maybe somebody will dress like that. But just to go to the supermarket, I mean, even growing up, I have to admit there was just something naturally inside of me. I always hated wearing sweatpants and I never wore them. Maybe when I was a little kid, maybe. But there's just this innate thing inside of me that I was like, oh, I'm not crazy. There are other people who are like me who would prefer to look at least half decent when they go out.
And Rafael, what else would you say about Italians in terms of, you know, the communication in English?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you wanna share with us in terms of helping, you know, Italians listening to us on how to better communicate in general?
Yeah.
with an American speaker, with an English speaker in general?
Yeah, so I mean, I've got a list that I made that I kind of wrote up a few little things that I'm referring to here. But there's some little small things like the double negatives that are very common in Italian, where it kind of reinforces what you're saying almost. Whereas in English, the double negative, like, I don't like no strawberries, it's incorrect. And what that person really means is that they don't like strawberries, but it actually means from a grammatical standpoint that it cancels out. One cancels out the other. So what you're trying to say means exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I won't go to no, or I don't want no, or I mean, even that's incorrect English to begin with, but don't have none. And so if I don't have none, that means I have some,
yeah,
for example. But again, this is incorrect English, so you should never say that to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. So don't use, double negatives. Okay.
Right, because
so first tip.
One will cancel out the other instead of reinforcing, kind of like to really say what you're saying, like in Italian. Yeah. But then also like remember versus remind. Often when I will speak to some Italians, they'll say, can you remember me? And so I'll say, yes, I will remember you. I mean, I'm going to have a hard time to forget you. And so in this case, you would say to remind me, to let me know again in the future.
Quindi ricordare, il verbo ricordare è remember. Se mi vuoi ricordare nella tua mente per diciamo da tanti anni, certo che mi ricordo di te. Ma se mi vuoi ricordare qualcosa non è remember, but remind me. Cioè, quindi ricordami che devo fare questo, che devo fare quello. Quindi remember e remind me. Quindi di prendere questo esempio ed è molto efficace. Well done, Rafael, for this example.
Thank you.
Perché per gli italiani ricordare è uguale, sia che mi devo ricordare di te o mi devi ricordare di farmi fare qualcosa, di fare qualcosa, in inglese ovviamente c'è remember and reminding.
Right. You know, and another example that's exactly. But in another example is like borrow versus lend. Can you borrow me a pencil? And I've had that happen a lot. But in that case, can you lend me a pencil? Or can I borrow a pencil? You wouldn't say, can you borrow me? You would say, can I borrow something from you? Or could you lend to me? Or could you let me use that pencil?
Quindi borrow and lend me. Can you borrow me?
Exactly.
Ok, il verbo prestare, per intenderci, attenzione a come viene usato, se utilizzo borrow oppure se utilizzo lend. Ok.
Yeah.
So that's another example of that where Italians, they do some mistakes, right?
Well, because the thing is, it's more using the Italian approach and the Italian logic, but in English. And so I don't blame Italians for doing this, because logically in Italian, it makes sense to make some of these, not mistakes, but some of these choices linguistically.
Yeah, because you try to translate in English, starting from the Italian construction of the sentence. So that's the reason why we kind of do those mistakes. Right.
No, and even like, look, I mean, one embarrassing mistake that I've made, which I know a lot of English speakers have made. I don't know how clean your podcast is, but preservatives and conservatives, like the differences there, like in English, when you're talking about a preservative, it is something that is actually helping to keep the food for longer. But a conservative is somebody who is more talking about in a political sense, or maybe in a fiscal sense. It depends kind of on the context there. So one time I was going,
quindi
and
quando
I
quando vuoi conservare il cibo, you know, mm-hmm, e quando invece sei un conservatore, una persona diciamo che ha delle idee conservatrici, diciamo, ecco. So so the difference is huge, no?
Yeah, no, and so even there was one time I was trying to get some Speck, some Bio Speck. And also that's one other thing is in the United States we generally will say organic, not bio, because bio for us, B-O, means like body odor. So that's another thing. Like okay, if you go to America, it's like, do you have any BO apples? It's like body odor apples. What are you talking about?
But so it doesn't exist. So you say organic.
Organic, exactly. But getting back to the situation that I was in, I was looking for some BO spec. And so I was trying to, because my Italian understanding, especially at that time, was a lot less than what I have now. And even now it's not perfect. And so I was saying, does this have any preservatives in it? Like, but I was saying in Italian, and the guy looked at me. He's like, no, it doesn't have any. I mean, just because that's...
Okay, conservanti. I conservanti. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you're right. And in saying, Italian, we say we think about something else, you know, if we say preservatives.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's one area where we do change a little bit. Because, I mean, it's like you're not going to have a condom inside of your spec.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me. So, quindi conservanti, preservatives, sono i conservanti che sono all'interno dei cibi, no? E quando non ce ne sono perché il cibo è, come noi diremmo, bio, in realtà è organic food. Ok, un americano direbbe che è un organic food.
Yeah.
Ok, it e noi organico è la spazzatura, it's the waste.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah.
You
yeah.
The humid food, you know, the waste.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's the thing also, like even some of those concepts like humid food is something a little bit foreign to me because trash, I mean, because also this is a different way that we just process things in America. And so I mean, maybe things have changed since I've left, at least on some level. But for me, trash is trash, not like humid trash and dry trash. I mean, okay, we'll separate like recyclable from non-recyclable, but that's kind of about where it goes. Or maybe paper and plastic, but not humid, dry, all the different.
Yeah,
because there's so many different. I mean, even just going down the street, it's like you have 5 or 6 different types of bins for the types of things. And even trying to understand that, it's like, it can get a little confusing, metal or not metal. And I mean, just coming from that American perspective where it's like, it's either trash or recycling, paper or plastic. That's about it. There's not much more that it goes into than that. And even in a lot of places, anyway, I'll let you translate.
Yeah, no. But I definitely understand your point on this yeah. one. But in general, yeah, I there are quite a few terms that yes. are very difficult to understand. Rafael, what else can you tell us a little bit more about? You know, maybe can you tell us before we wrap up this. This room, I would say, but this podcast.
Yeah, let me tap on that mute button there.
The mute button. No, I just was asking you, about Americans, Italians, and Americans, and you know the relationship, and something that you would like to tell us about, what we are good at and what we are not good at. If you can just give us this Ooh. Example.
You know what? I think the best example that sums everything up into one idea is that Italians have a beautiful thirst for life and allowing themselves to slow down and being very respectful and honoring certain times of day, especially here in the Veneto region. Spritz time is almost like a religious event where you have
Quindi
to have
it. Quindi lo spritz è tipo un evento religioso. Okay.
And so I think also, but allowing people to take their time and being a little bit more calm and relaxed. But I think, unfortunately, there are times when even you and I have discussed this, where that relaxed attitude can go a step too far in some respects, that some people maybe are very comfortable with their jobs and they're not worried about getting fired, for example. So things sometimes here do move a little bit more slowly, which has been for me a very big adjustment, trying to get used to a slower pace of life, where that is one of the reasons why I came to Italy, is because things do move slower because you can relax more, you can take time for your family more.
Quindi tu stai dicendo che il ritmo, the pace, è molto
exactly.
è più lento qui in Italia, si vive in maniera un pochino più tranquilla rispetto all'America, no? Quindi questa è la prima cosa che hai notato. So this is the first thing you noticed when you arrived here in Italy, no?
Yeah, I mean, in some respect, I mean, even before arriving that I noticed, and there are the various aspects to it, where in one sense, it's amazing, But in the other sense, it can be a little frustrating at times. And I know there are people here who also get frustrated with that. And that's one of the reasons why I do mention it, because I think it kind of wraps up this idea of some of the differences that are really noticeable that some of us really look for as Americans, that we want, because life is so fast paced there that it's always hustling and moving forward and pushing and making these moves and really trying to better your life. Especially, I've said this so many times, that in the United States that we live to work, whereas in Italy, it's the opposite, where you work to be able to live a better life.
Okay. Sì, diciamo che giustamente il ritmo è molto molto più elevato in America, e soprattutto perché voi americani, vi dico voi, Rafael, lo so che tu sei più italiano che americano.
Oh no, ho una storia che, well, another time I can tell you a story about that type of situation.
Ma in general, quello che dico è che tu dici in America vanno tutti di corsa, vanno tutti super veloci, viviamo per, diciamo, per lavorare, perché si lavora business, 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 invece qui... Noi lavoriamo per avere una vita, cioè una cosa che facciamo perché dobbiamo anche vivere, no? Invece
sì, anche per il tempo con famiglia, tempo
esatto,
con i,
cioè c'è
i amici.
Più qualità della vita.
Esatto.
Ok. So, of course, I would assume you would say about food that it should be something, you know, in the good things about Italy, you should say,
I think
food, right?
Oh, yes. No, look, I'll say this. I think there's also a bit of a mixed bag here as well. In general, yes. Italian food in Italy, you cannot get better at nowhere else on earth. I mean, it makes sense. We're in Italy. This is the home of Italian food.
Yeah.
But sometimes I find ethnic food here, like from other countries, Latin American food or some Asian food, isn't quite up to that same level, or even Middle Eastern food. But when you go for Italian food here, when you have a pizza, you have a pizza. You have
pizza.
A proper, and there's so, and even I didn't realize, I knew there was a couple different types of pizza, but until I came to Italy, I didn't even realize how many different, even one type of pizza can have 20 different variations.
You're right.
And it's like this umbrella
also
term.
You know, in Italy, giustamente Rafael diceva, no, che è fantastico il cibo italiano, magari siamo un po'... trovi meno qualità se prendi cibo etnico o comunque di cibo asiatico, immagino ti riferivi magari al sushi cinese eccetera eccetera, perché in America c'è un livello molto alto per qualsiasi tipo di cucina, no? Noi ovviamente il nostro livello alto lo teniamo per la nostra cucina.
No, però è anche in Italia you also have this high expectation for quality.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit different, and I think also because in the United States we noi abbiamo tanti immigranti dal tutto il mondo. In Italia
esatto,
non c'è
tanto. Esatto,
quello
che volevo dire è che è un po' come l'Inghilterra. Se tu vai a Londra trovi sia 20 buonissimi ristoranti indiani, come cinesi, come sushi, come italiani, sono tutti più o meno sullo stesso livello, no? Invece da noi ovviamente la cucina italiana regna sovrana, e poi ci sono qualche piccole tipologie di diverse cucine eccetera eccetera, che poi tra parentesi sono anche come dire non originali, perché sono italianizzate, no, alcune volte. But also the thing about you were saying about pizza, the 20 different kind of pizza for the, you order the same pizza that you can find there is a world behind it, you know.
Yeah.
Also with the pasta, no, you can ask for a carbonara, but the same carbonara is not going to be the same in Sicily or in Veneto or in Lazio or in Abruzzo. No, everyone is trying to do their own version. They're all great, but you know, each of us is very regional here in Italy.
Oh, definitely.
About when you talk about food,
well, even if we're talking about food specifically pasta, this is something from an American perspective. I mean, I knew there were different types of pasta, but here in Italy, you can have these massive aisles in the supermarket of just pasta and only pasta. And even I remember being in a supermarket in Milan where it was a massive, massive supermarket, and it was three aisles devoted only to pasta. Whereas in America, maybe you might see a section, a part of an aisle that's subdivided.
An aisle è tipo un settore intero del supermercato, no?
Yeah, thank you for translating.
Yeah,
I know
okay.
That's a tricky one. But then also, like, even the just coming and seeing that, but also even in the supermarket, the layout of the items is very different from the logic that I would have. Like, for example, I would think of having baking soda with the items that you bake with for making cakes and cookies and so on. Whereas so many times in Italy, I have to go where you'll actually find soda and 7-Up and not 7-Up, but Sprite or Coca-Cola, these types of things. And so for me, it's like, or even, for example, one other huge difference is that the eggs here are not in a refrigerator.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Non sono nel frigorifero le uova da noi.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's I don't mind it, but it's just, it's surprising. Like the first time I saw eggs, like even in, because also here in Italy, you go to like, you can go to a supermarket, of course, but also you find a lot more of the specialized only vegetable store or a butcher or a fishmonger. And I remember seeing at a butcher shop the first time I was in Italy.
Butcher, they had, macellaio.
Yes. And the on the counter, on the top of the glass, he had eggs just sitting there. And I was thinking, is that safe? Is that sanitary? Is that, because just for us, it's like, it's such a strange idea.
Okay, quindi il fatto di non avere le uova nel frigorifero per voi è una cosa molto strana, che addirittura vi fa pensare che potrebbe non essere una cosa sana. Okay. Okay, that makes sense to me. That makes sense. Thanks, Rafael. You know, it was absolutely great. Thank you for your time. As I was just saying at the beginning, I'm trying to do something different with the podcast, because I would like to, you know, go talking about business in general, talking about meetings and interview questions and stuff like that. But I also would like to introduce conversation interviews with, you know, native speakers mainly, to talk about language, talk about Italy, how they, you know, the relationship with Italians. And you are a great, great example, because you Thank live you. In Italy. And you can give us, you know, quite a few differences about what you see, what it's crazy to you, what is not, you know. And that was great in general. And I hope the audience, you know, appreciate that kind of new sort of format. But anyway, Rafael, thank you very much. Where can we find you? I think you have a nice channel on YouTube, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on. It's been such a great conversation with you. We always have a great time when we talk. But
anybody
who is trying to find me online, you can find me basically on all the major platforms, either with the URL / Rafael Di Furia or @ Rafael Di Furia, @, or you can find me on YouTube with my name, Rafael Di Furia, or you can also go to my website.
So you Rafael just Di write Furia. Rafael Di Furia.
Exactly.
You type in Rafael Di Furia and you will appear everywhere, more or
Pretty
less.
Pretty much. Or the only one place where it's not Rafael Di Furia is for my podcast, my audio only podcast, and for one of my websites, Not Your Average Globetrotter.
Not Your Average Globetrotter. That's nice. Perfect. Rafa, thank you very much for being with me, for being with, you know, all the guys at Praticamente Inglese. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Ciao.
Rafael. Ciao.